This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Today we're going to continue our Follow Me theme as we explore what it means to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus and do what Jesus did. So we focus on being with Jesus. We're exploring a number of practices that can help us to draw closer to him. And what I want to encourage you is not to think of these practices as a religious experience. This is a kind of a thing you must do. But different ones of us are in different places, and some people don't even know what it means to try and come into the presence of Jesus. And we're trying to help give people tools that they can use to help them to do that. So, last week David explained why reading the Bible is a crucial way for us to encounter the presence of Jesus. And he taught us about the practice of lecto divina as a way of engaging with God's word and reflecting on it. But today, as we sort of focus on being with Jesus, I'd like to think of us about how we come into his presence by uttering prayers, acknowledging who he is and how we might respond to that. I love that we sang Miracle Maker, Promise Keeper today, because that's just acknowledging who God is. And if that's who he is and we see that's who he is, what does that mean for us? And maybe you don't know that's who he is. Maybe you have no concept of what it means to follow Jesus this morning. You're welcome. We've got a treat for you this morning. Just try and engage and stick with us. So in the weeks that to follow, we're going to have Helen come and talk to us about silence and solitude, and then we're going to look at reflection and contemplation, being filled with the Spirit, knowing God is with us. So there's a lot in store for you. It's awesome. Get excited. This is a journey about encountering Jesus. And if you haven't encountered him, why would you not want to? Because maybe you haven't understood or you've learned the wrong things about him. But come on, let's turn to Psalm 84. So Psalms, if you open your Bible, and there's Bibles in the pews, I think, so do help yourself if you haven't got one with you. If we open our Bible about halfway, we come to Isaiah usually, and we just skip back a little bit through Proverbs and into Psalms. And we come to Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon your shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Just love that passage, that hunger that we see the psalmist has for the presence of God and to be near God. I remember somebody told a story recently about God challenged them. They were coming up and they were kind of being promoted through ministry and they were getting excited. And then God just said one day, if I ask you to abandon everything, but just spend the rest of your life cleaning toilets, but you would have the increase of my presence on your life, would you choose to do it? I just thought it was a really humbling little story. So thinking about the presence of God, Ian and I, we moved into a new house about 12, 13 years ago. And I was desperate for it to be filled with the presence of God and it to be a really welcoming, warm place. And I sent Ian out with some friends one evening, and I just brought a group of girls together, and we just put some worship music on and we were just worshiping. The problem was we had paint, we had pens, we just went mad. Anyway, Ian comes in late, sees we're all still busy, so he just sneaks past, off he goes to bed. And in the morning, he's sat on the sofa and he's eating his breakfast. And opposite the sofa was a big mirror. And underneath the mirror, he saw the word hope and love. And he thought, that's interesting. Liz has written on the walls. Why has she done that? Was just thinking, has she written anywhere else? Started to look around when his eyes rested on the huge mirror on the wall opposite. And he found he was faced with an 8-foot angel and prophetic words and scriptures spread down the whole length of the walls. And he was just like, what on earth has happened here? Now, I'm not telling you that story because that's what it means to become in the presence of Jesus. But it's just that thing about sometimes we just want to be closer to God and we want him to be closer to us. So this morning we will explore how we can seek that presence through prayer. And we'll ask the question whether, like this psalmist, do we really long to be in the presence of God? And if we're not hungering for God's presence, what is it that's inhibiting us? We'll consider the message of the gospel, that no matter what our circumstances, we can always draw near to Jesus and seek him out. And Jesus is always really glad of our pursuit of him. Because it's really important for us to realise that Jesus actually longs for our presence, even when we're turning away from him, even when we don't acknowledge him as real or as fairy tale figure. He is still pursuing us. Jesus is wanting us to respond to his invitation to know him. So we'll go through an activity of how we can do that through prayer. Or some people call it prayers of presence, others centering prayers. Some of you might be familiar with the habit. Others of you might be a bit tentative, not sure what that means. And some of you haven't got a clue what I'm on about. But let's be expectant of what Jesus may want to reveal to himself, of himself to us today. We'll then have an explore of what that impact might have for us to be in recognition of who Jesus is. We can be confident in his gentleness and kindness towards us and how his Holy Spirit changes us as we re-engage with the world around us. Because you know, sometimes we meet someone and we just really want to be with them and as much as we can, and we find ourselves a better person for being with them, and sometimes we're just drawn because we admire, we respect them, we find them funny. And sometimes it's because we just see something in them that we really want to grow in us. And sometimes it's just they make us feel really safe and good about ourselves. And sometimes it's a combination of all those things, but we just find ourselves longing to be with that person. But you see, the thing is, we've all been designed to desire a deep connection with someone. But really, our spirit is designed to be one with the Spirit, with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. He has put something in us that really longs for that deep connection. And when we put that expectancy on somebody else, we're going to always be disappointed. And sometimes we're surprised. How could they not meet our need for connection? And did I say surprised? Yes, I think I did. Because, you see, we've put a wrong expectancy in the wrong place. And we get disappointed and we feel rejected. And we wonder why somebody won't meet our commitment to connect with them. But whatever the reason we find ourselves longing to be with someone, sometimes we can find ourselves just suddenly wanting to withdraw from them. And I remember when my children were young, they would seek me out, often wanting to just jump on my lap and have a cuddle and feel the safety and warmth of a mother's embrace. But then there were these other times where they wouldn't meet my gaze. Or they'd be avoid being in the same room as me, literally hiding sometimes. Or they would be acting up and almost trying to create some sort of negative interaction. And this was always a result of something they knew would displease me. So let's turn to Zechariah. We're going to look at that picture again that David used in communion. So if you turn to Matthew, which is the beginning of the New Testament, and then go backwards past Malachi, you end up at Zechariah. It's that easy. It's really good. It's one of those books that I either turn to straight away or I'm there 10 minutes fiddling about trying to find it. But we're going to read from Zechariah 1 to 5. Zechariah was a prophet, and his message was that God's people needed to keep a close relationship with God. And Zechariah had several visions, and we're going to just enter his message with this vision of Joshua. So let's read it. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan, standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." And then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." See, in our natural state, we are all like Joshua, dressed in filth and unfitting for an encounter with Jesus, Lord of all. And in the background, Satan stands accusing us of all the things that we've done or not done, our unworthiness. To help me illustrate this, I'm just going to ask Hannah to come and share a little bit about our family life. This is my daughter, Hannah. She's 18. She won't be, look after her. She won't be here long. She's off to uni in September. So we're just trying to enjoy as much of her as we can right now. So, yeah, you need that. So, Hannah, one day I came home and you were nowhere to be seen. You were literally hidden. Can you explain why you were hiding?
Well, earlier that day, me and Jemima had been playing Barbies, as you do when you're, how old, 8 and 4. And we had minimal boy Barbies. And due to this, there was quite a few arguments between the two of us over who got to play with them. And I got to the point where Jemima wasn't letting me play with them, and I wasn't letting her play with them, so I decided I'd take all the heads off them, so there'd be no boy Barbies for anyone to play with. And that excess of anger from the boy Barbie situation, I then coloured on and put makeup on all the girl Barbies, just to frustrate everyone. And I was so embarrassed when Mum walked through the door. I didn't know what to do. I just kind of hid, was fearful of, like, what the reaction was going to be, because no one had any toys left, and I was to blame.
Thank you, Hannah.
Yeah.
Double mic, that's the last thing you want. And so entering the presence of Jesus can feel like that, kind of as small children, we're just hiding from our guilt and our shame, knowing he sees who we really are. You know, it doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. It doesn't matter how much we smile, how nice we are. If God sees the heart, you know, he sees the mind. He knows what's going on. We know it. We really know it. So rather than pursuing his presence, we're actually avoiding it. So maybe, do you fully resonate and relate to that psalmist's words? My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Or are your thoughts aligning with, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere? Or is it that, actually, I have felt that hunger, but right now I'm not feeling it? Or maybe you sat here and I still don't have a clue what you're talking about, Liz. I have no idea what you're on about. And it's just nothing you've ever experienced, that presence of God. But just like my children would withdraw from me and avoid that closeness, I believe we can also withdraw from Jesus. So I'm going to draw some lessons from my experience as a mother and as a daughter and a sibling and a friend. And this is what I've observed. barriers to being with Jesus. Sometimes we just feel unworthy. Somehow we think we're inferior to that person. And if we draw near them, they'll see what a rubbish person we are. I remember meeting John Paul Jackson in person. He was a notable prophetic guy. He was from America. He had this really evident revelatory gifting, and he'd been so significant in helping others in growing in that gifting. But when I had the chance to meet with him one-to-one, I was introduced to him, and before that, the person introducing me had said, make sure you spend a good 10 minutes with him, chatting to him. But, you know, I just found myself suddenly just feeling really unworthy and feeling fearful that he would just think I was really stupid and didn't really have a clue. So I shrunk back and I chose to hide behind others and just observe what was being said. And I just always wished that I'd grabbed that opportunity and not felt so inferior. But sometimes we're just shameful. Like the times Libby would steal chewing gum from my handbag, or she'd sample my makeup while I was busy. And she'd avoid me and deny that she had done anything. Or Hannah beheading her dolls. We know we haven't lived up to being a great model of that person, of who that person would really long for us to be. And sometimes we cheat and we lie and we took part in something we knew they would not have approved of, even if it wasn't a bad thing. And we feel shame, and so we avoid the connection to avoid the exposure of our ugliness. And sometimes we just feel we're a disappointment. We can feel a disappointment because we didn't feel we measured up. I bought my mum some glass snowdrops. They were really significant to her because her and my dad every year would go hunting for the snowdrops in the woods as a sign of the promise of spring coming. And it was just a really significant thing in their relationship. And it was the last present I bought her before she died. And she loved those snowdrops. And when she died, they came back to me. And they hadn't been in the house a day, and Martha broke one of them. And she was just devastated, just avoiding me, because she thought she had broken my heart. And we can be like that with Jesus. Another time, I remember I was a child, and we just moved. I was 8 years old. Our home was in chaos. I'd moved from Africa to Hertfordshire into Cambridgeshire. I didn't know any other children. I was feeling unsettled. We attended a new church for the first time, and my younger sister was cuddled up on my mum's knee, and I remember trying to snuggle up close to them, and my mum, irritated, pushing me away. And it was just so easy for me to believe at the age of sort of eight that my mother cared for my sister more than me. But she was probably just overwhelmed herself and not feeling able to cope with me as well. But it's easy to shrink back from Jesus because we believe he's more invested in others and that others are more important than us, so we withdraw from him. And ultimately, unworthiness, shame, feeling a disappointment, or negatively comparing ourselves results in a fear of disapproval, and we want to avoid that feeling of not being enough. And in the context of pursuing Jesus, we fear God's disappointment of us, or even mistakenly believe he's a cross, accusing finger, ready to shout us down. But then there's another set of barriers, which sometimes about us. And I just want to read, I want to promote a book, Choose Life, Readings of a Radical Disciple. If you want to be nice, sweet Christian with nice, happy life with nobody getting upset with you, don't read this book. Okay, so this book is about just pushing the boundaries of who God called us to be, and I absolutely love it. It's like, you know, when you read something and it just totally like stirs you. Well, I'm having that experience every day with this book, but I'm loving it. But there's a quote from Tozer. And he's responding, the focus of the devotion was, "Oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you," from Psalm 63, verse 1. But Tozer says this, and it was written by Paul the Apostle, who had ups and downs and challenges. He was beaten, he was put in prison, and yet he still kept coming forward. And he had known, he'd been raised a rabbi, so he had a really good understanding of God. Paul was a seeker and a finder, and a seeker still. They seek and find and seek no more. After accepting Christ, many tend to substitute logic for life, doctrine for experience. For them, the truth becomes a veil to hide the face of God. For Paul, it was a door into his very presence. Paul's spirit was that of the loving explorer. He was a prospector among the hills of God, searching for the gold of personal spiritual acquaintance as he pursued that presence of God. And I just loved that thing about just finding the gold of God, just pressing in for more of him. So there's pride. We think we know it all. That's the first thing. Then there's anger. And just as Hannah beheaded all her dolls and refused to play with Jemima because she was angry, when we're angry, we can withdraw and choose to punish people rather than move towards. Then we have unforgiveness and resentment. I think we can all identify with that time when those certain people in our lives did something to hurt us, where they walked in the room and a piece inside of us just remembered that wound and we wanted to punish and withdraw our connection. We all know that's not okay, right? But sometimes it's hard to forgive. And we hold on to unforgiveness, and it's like a comfort blanket, but really we're drinking poison and expecting the other person to suffer. It's not a good thing. Then we disagree. We want to avoid, as we might have to concede or submit when we really don't want to. We can feel this towards God when we don't like what we read in the scriptures and would prefer it said something else. And so we close our hearts to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And then there's those times where we're just contemptuous and defiant. We don't value the relationship and have no regard for their views or values, and we actively want to walk away from them, which might be how you feel towards God this morning. Or we're doing something wrong. We know we're doing something wrong, and actually we don't want to be challenged over it, but we just wish to continue in our wrongdoing. Ultimately, all these things result in a hardening of our hearts towards others and a desire to shut out and disconnect. And in the context of pursuing the presence of Jesus, we fear Holy Spirit will bring conviction and draw us to let go of sin, unforgiveness. And we have this will to punish or disconnect. And without realizing it, we're hardening our hearts towards Holy Spirit and we're becoming detached from the heart of God. I just believe at the heart of every feeling of distance or disconnection from God, there was a stubborn moment somewhere of holding on to our pride or our anger or unforgiveness that just separated us from others that little bit and then in turn Jesus. Or maybe we just haven't ever known what it means to know Jesus. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds, a minute, to just examine your heart right now. And we're going to sit in silence and just think, is my soul yearning, even fainting for the courts of the Lord? Is my heart and my flesh crying out for the presence of the living God? And if it isn't, is it because I've never actually chosen to follow Jesus or experience his presence? So I don't even know what that means. And if it is that, I ask that you ask the Holy Spirit to come close. Or that you speak to somebody today and then ask how you can be a follower of Jesus and experience that presence. Or maybe you're avoiding the presence because you don't feel you're worthy and you're gripped with shame and prayer and regret, shame and regret. And I just ask that the Holy Spirit show you his acceptance and love towards you. Or are you holding on to a disappointment, an anger, an unforgiveness, or an offense towards others or God? Be honest, why are you in this place? What is the cost of your relationship with others to Jesus? By holding on to your will to punish and withdraw your connection, ask the Holy Spirit what he will exchange for your offense and stubborn will. And maybe you are hungering for the presence of Jesus. And if that's you, pray for everyone else. So let's take a minute. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Zechariah was prophesying about Jesus through the symbolism of Joshua, having his filthy clothes removed and replaced for clean white robes. Jesus would come and give his life for each of us that we might be set free. And as we repent and choose to follow Jesus, we're washed clean and the filth of our sins is no more. So no matter what our condition, if we will draw near with a humble heart, refusing to harden it, to keep it soft, Jesus looks upon us and sees us with no spot or blemish or speck of dirt, and he just has open arms and says, I love you. Jesus is pursuing us all the time and is longing for us to come closer to him. So how can we do it? How can we come closer? This is where prayers of presence can help us. So we're going to give it a go. Okay. So we've all been, hopefully you will have all been given or had or chosen to. If you haven't, grab one of these. We've been looking at this How to Spend Time with Jesus booklet. It's an awesome resource and one that if you develop all its habits, it will make you stronger. You'll feel more acceptance and more loving. It will change you into the likeness of Jesus because you know we can't come into the presence of Jesus and not be changed. Okay, so we're going to focus on section 3, which is on page 11. And if you'd like a copy of the booklet to take home, just make sure you speak to the welcome team, and I'm sure they'll be able to get hold of one for you. So if the people have got the little cards and prayers that I gave out, if you could just give them out now, that'd be really good. So we're going to spend some time here practicing prayers of presence. Having walked through the notes, we're going to just before I carry on, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to. That's fine. Okay, I won't be offended. But I just ask you quiet and just let others do it and just observe what's happening. But I just believe Jesus is wanting to draw us in. So let's begin by spending some time in silence. You've got inside a centering card. This is for you to take away so you can remember how to do this. And then you have a little sheet of examples. You don't need to worry about that right now. We'll come back to that in a minute. Helen next week will explore in more detail the value of silence and how we can press into and encounter the presence of Jesus through it. But for the purpose of today, let's use this silence to acknowledge this moment as holy ground. So just close your eyes and imagine you're in a place on your own. Just make some spreads, some space, find another seat if you need to. And imagine yourself as Joshua, standing in your unclean clothes. Acknowledge and repent of what stands between you and God, even if for you right now it's an unbelief in him. And as you do this, just let the Holy Spirit give you a picture of being dressed in fine white clothing. There's no need to perform, earn anything, but just be still and receive Jesus' love and care for you. Focus on Jesus' presence with you. Pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge and welcome your presence. Thank you for this new day. Fill me afresh. And take a deep breath down into your stomach and breathe out slowly. And as you breathe in, intentionally draw the Holy Spirit in. And as you exhale, just anything that would distract you, let it go. Do this a few times, and then as you breathe in, pray, I receive your affection for me. And as you breathe out, pray, receive my adoration. I receive your affection for me. And as you breathe out, pray, receive my adoration. It might feel a bit strange or difficult at first, but if your mind wanders, recenter and continue and be gracious and merciful with yourself. Take a look at some of the prayers. I've given examples. Sorry it's so small. I didn't realize it'd print out so small. But if you just look, there might be one that you really resonate with. Have a go at that. Actually, you don't have to. These aren't an endless list. There's loads of things about Jesus in the Bible that you know are truths and who he is. You can use any one of those things to just remind and get a focus on who God is. And as you breathe in, focus on who he is. And as you breathe out, focus on how you're responding to that truth of who he is. Take time to reflect. What deeper revelation of who Jesus came to you? Did you have a greater sense of Jesus' love and acceptance of you, or just an acknowledgement of a deep peace? Is there a response that the Holy Spirit wants to work out in you in relation to who Jesus is? For example, if Jesus is the light of the world and I have received his light, how can I carry his presence and light with me from this place? You see, Jesus is pursuing us for relationship with him, and he longs for us to be with him. And as we respond to that pursuing and longing for us, we come back with a longing for him and a desire to come deeper into his presence. And as we do that, we come into a deeper understanding of the truth of who Jesus really is. And as we enjoy these truths and receive all that Jesus is, we're gently changed by our thinking. We're changed in heart and actions, and we become like him, humbler, more forgiving, more loving, more patient, more generous. Only if we choose to be untouched by his generous love towards us will we not be changed, as we choose to harden our hearts against him. Simon Ponsonby, a great theologian and vicar in Oxford, has done some really great teaching on the fear of the Lord, and he describes it as this: the presence of Jesus and connection with his Spirit is so valuable to us that we're terrified of losing that connection, and so we'll put everything out of our lives that would jeopardize our intimacy with him. We will act in any way possible to keep Jesus fully present in our lives. Going back to our scripture in Zechariah 3, the vision of Joshua finishes with this beautiful picture of Joshua standing clean and unblemished before God. And just like Joshua, we're made clean and invited to come closer to God. We can abide in Jesus' presence. We can let the Holy Spirit reveal the true nature of God towards us, and we become like him. And we move out into our spheres of influence, taking Jesus and his presence with us to invite a hurting world to come and know Jesus too. Let's stand.